Recording in progress.
All right, very good. Welcome everyone to the council workshop here. This is the first maybe of many here that we ongoing dialogue, and it's the strategic planning session, which was scheduled back in January, and unfortunately there was a death in our family, so it was postponed till today's date. And I guess what Danny first will call the roll, please.
Sure. Grindel?
Here.
DiGeronimo?
Here.
Narduzzi?
Here.
Tagliati?
Here.
Tracus?
Present.
Vavrka?
Here.
Walt Chanowitz?
Here.
Oh, everybody's here. I guess without further ado, I know that Vern, some of this was your idea and everything there. Maybe if you wanted to give us some guidance as how we get the dialogue and the conversation started.
Sure. Thank you, Vice Mayor. Well, the original intent, as you stated earlier, was to meet in person there in January. And I had offered to lead a strategic planning session, but those plans fell by the wayside. So in order to not let the process just stop until we could all meet again in person, Mayor decided to, let's solicit some of the initial feedback and input and base level thoughts and ideas that go into a strategic plan electronically. And thank you all of you here sitting at the table who did do that and participated in that. And then that very large document that you have in front of you, you've got to thank Paula and Dar, especially the learned sales skills, putting all that in a spreadsheet and trying to quantify nine elected officials' thoughts and ideas and priorities and goals and everything that was asked for. So that's that spreadsheet, which I believe everybody had gotten already prior to today. And so I think the mayor is just here to kick it off and say, okay, council, you did your job. And step one, you provided your input. Step two, my office quantified it and kind of summarized it and put it in a format that's understandable. And now step three is here we are to take that first step of just let's maybe review at a very high level just some of the cursory findings from what was all submitted. And then hopefully by 4:30 we walk away from here saying our next step is ABC. We're going to meet this date or something so that we walk away from here kind of collectively knowing where we want to go from here.
Yeah, and thank you, Vernon. I think to move on, we made it 23-24 because it'll bleed into 24, 25, 26. Nothing's left for a one calendar year. And some of the information that you provided, we inputted, stresses that. These are long-term objectives. These aren't something that's going to be done in a year. But to focus at a starting point, want to support the fact that the city is a thriving community. It's fiscally responsible, supports the economic development, and is business friendly. It's safe and provides excellent services and high quality of life amenities. I think it's fair to say that that's probably the overarching goals from everybody at this table as the leaders of this community. And we've tabulated and put this information together, and we tried to identify the critical information, but we also didn't not rank anything, and we tried to incorporate as many of your thoughts as possible into this summary. So because there's no right or wrong answer, it's a matter of seeing where there's consensus, where there are some outlined information, where additional information that's needed, and go from there. So we went through the SWOT analysis and worked through that and determined our strengths with our location, income tax base, city servicer, natural amenities that we have available to us in proximity to the national park and the Cuyahoga River. The weaknesses, we have limited housing types. There's a lack of pedestrian non-vehicle infrastructure. There's the ability to attract entrepreneurs due to high rent. Limited land, and a very high cost, and the allocated service garage were some of the weaknesses. We also had undeveloped downtown, aging housing stock, increased number of rental properties, aging commercial buildings and infrastructure projects have not been completed, if to name a few of the challenges. In terms of opportunities, access to the Tiger River and National Parks, Uncut Diamond, updating the street design standards, increasing the number of rental properties, aging commercial buildings, and partnering with RTA to improve services. Also, the opportunities are attracting new residents. We closed on the Concordia property last week, so that's now part of our responsibility. New or remodeled police station and satellite station, a public safety facility, continue to upgrade parks and recreation. We've done Uncut Diamond over the hill in terms of Hemlock property, and redeveloping or repurposing some of our business districts. Other opportunities would be the downtown opportunity to redevelop downtown. Public-private partnerships play an important role, helping residents with their homes, making the city a destination, continue upgrades to the parks and recreation, and developing redeveloping business districts. And of course, we're working with the schools to create a public service academy. We have meetings scheduled for the near future, I think next week, to talk to to intertwine our business community with our teachers to hopefully build some type of foundation for internships or the opportunity to move forward. Some of the threats are aging housing inventory, tax revenue, remote work model that we've been trying to identify for the last couple of years, a looming recession that's potential, the regional crime issue, and the lack of role prioritization alignment. Threats are increased in operational spending, and competition from surrounding communities for economic development projects. So in terms of priorities, we agreed that maintaining funding and completing current and future infrastructure projects is a high priority, including the discussion of construction emergency exit ramp. We have submitted to ODOT, actually submitted to the legislature. Can you understand the procedure? It won't be part of, we have to go through the budget process to get it incorporated into the next budget and see if we can turn that around. We've been denied 3 times for various reasons. In our latest conversation with our representative, they're willing to champion the cause and provide an opportunity that hopefully would result in emergency ramp, extra ramp being built onto ceiling, extending out of ceiling, onto 77, which then creates a number of different dynamics for us. So so we're working through that as a priority. Service garage, most of councils and the finance director indicated that we should explore opportunities to renovate or build new, add on to, or define the service garage and its capacity. You'll recall that we picked up the ODOT property to give us I look at this as a 3-year challenge. One is put ourselves in a position to be able to build, then designing, and then building. So a 3-year, if we go with the new construction as an infrastructure project, it would be my goal is make it a 3-year deal. And so right now we've used the ODOT property as a backstop. We've got, as a matter of fact, my deal was down there today and we were loading salt out of a salt teepee. So we're using it for the purpose intended. Economic development. Right. Oh, let's see. We focused on new program incentives, retaining, attracting new businesses and opportunities, most of which you've already participated in terms of accepting some of these incentives. There are a number of new opportunities on the horizon that will need council interaction and discussion. And the flood relief in downtown areas are also have to be part of that discussion. In addition, let's see, housing, lack of housing options for our city is still a weakness. People rejected downtown housing a couple of years ago, more, probably a decade ago now. But there's still the need for keeping our residents in the city, along with exploring opportunities to put our toe in the water and see if we can still maintain the integrity of our small town community, along with trying to come up with new opportunities to keep our residents and dependents. Police station, you've heard the chief talk about the safety committee, looking at the deficiencies. It's, this building is 40 years old and remodeling. Looking at a new satellite station, police station, or a combination of the above is something we're going to vet, search out, and then see if we can come up with the best solution from a infrastructure standpoint facility. More boots on the ground was also identified as a priority with cameras around the city was also mentioned. The Ivory School Center, this has been an issue that's it's an embryonic or incubation phase. It involves the county library and their interest to build a new facility. As part of that investment, similar to what we did with the original library, we contribute the land, they build the structure. And there's been several suggestions in downtown, around 21, Cedar, and out of the existing building. So again, a lot of opportunity, but eventually this group's going to have to make those decisions. Next steps. Next step is really about everyone weighing in. We've had a chance to weigh in on a preliminary basis. And we've outlined, and you've had enough information long enough to be able to synthesize it yourself. And hopefully we're in a position now to really determine, okay, we've identified 100 issues. How do we fracture those down to something that's more manageable, eventually get down to something that we can actually focus on and put some money to, put some investment in planning, and then eventually answer some of the questions that were raised during the overarching analysis. So that's really what we're trying to do is, as a group, we need to prioritize. Is it a, and when we looked at the public buildings and lands portion of infrastructure, we identified the service garage, which was built in 1976 as the, in the worst condition. And then since Chief Butler's been around, he's now recognizing some of the deficiencies in the existing facility, the way it's designed or built 40 years ago. And we need to now, for those two infrastructure projects, define, get some information together, and then this group can decide if we want to, or help us, help me define, I'll steer this thing as best I can with respect to the chief service director, the people that are responsible for these facilities. But in terms of police department or service department, I know that those two are very active trying to get information in terms of their facilities. But ultimately, it's a funding issue, it's a priority issue, and it's a long-term strategy. So clearly, there was a consensus, overarching consensus, that majority want us to look at this, look at these issues, but a full scope would be renovation, question mark, new, question mark, and in terms of the police department, would you do it in combination with the satellite safety force facility with fire? Would you build it on Rockside Road or on Brecksville Road? Would you use the property on the campus? Would you stay with the existing campus, existing facility, knowing that most new departments, everything's housed, locked up. You wouldn't have, like we have the car sitting outside in a new configuration. Everything's more protected, more secure. And so that's one of the challenges of trying to renovate from the existing footprint. But if after we do more in-depth analysis, after I get direction from this group, then we can assess that, do the assessment, and then determine the, what's best. Similar to what they did 40 years ago, a little over 40 years ago for this building. Similar to what we did for the new fire station. similar to what we did for the engineering building. We grew into some of these elements. Before, we had outside consultants. Now we have our own team of people that are giving us more responsive time, better responsive time. So there's a number of different infrastructure projects that you identified, we put together. Now we just have to have a more discussion to give us some direction on this. And I need that from the people at this table. So that's how we kick this off, because, and look, I think as Vern said, we're not going to wave our magic wand and pretend we've got it all done in an hour and a half. I mean, it could take multiple hours and a half to do something like that. But we have to start somewhere. So I appreciate the fact that you took the time to identify issues from your perspective, and we took that information, we did the best we could to synthesize it, and now we delivered it back so you could see what your colleagues were thinking, and everything's here. And if we do, anything was not here that you presented, please identify, you tell us, because we try to be very descriptive in terms of your input, because it's not my decision, it's not each one of you individually, it's collectively what we can come up with. So that's where we're at, and the goal now would be to move forward in an organized fashion so that we can identify some of these, lock down some overall strategy, a timetable, and financing, so we can build forward, go forward on it. In terms of, and that's just the infrastructure defined by building infrastructure. We have road infrastructure, we have utility infrastructure, and then we've got our facilities in terms of our amenities, in terms of national proximity to national park, some of our land issues, some of the river, the railroad, some of the things that are taking place that you're maybe aware of, but we don't have enough information yet. We're always trying to collect information, but there are a lot of opportunities out there, both, and that's just from this component of infrastructure. Now, if you move beyond infrastructure, we start talking about economic development. Now you're talking about a whole different dynamic, because we need to have the tools and we have response time to be able to not only attract, maintain, but retain some of these businesses that are going through their metamorphosis in terms of how they're going to go to business in 2023, 2024, and beyond. Shrinking footprints, different amenities they need for their buildings, the age of some of their facilities, but they are definitely, it's robust to the extent that they are engaged. They want to know how the community is going to react to some of their questions, and I think our economic development team is trying to, the best they can, to be ahead of the curve in terms of some of their requests, ideas, or suggestions. So that's a whole different discussion, but it impacts every one of us, because right now we've monitored for the past 3 years more closely than in the past our income tax, and we can see we're stable, but who knows what the impact of the change in the law to 2022, 2021, 2022, and now it's 2023. So far this year we're stable, but that we can't rest or sit back, because everything's changing. So, Bert, you want to add anything else? That's just the beginning. Okay, I'm done.
Let me make one quick comment. You say that the income is stable, but we're also dealing with inflation that's going goofy. So in other words, that to me is kind of a net loss. So I think we have to kind of bridle in some of the expectations. Whereas before we could anticipate, if we needed money, we could buy it at 3%, or borrow it at 3% or less. And now we're in a position where it's dramatically increased, which means the difficulty to repay if we're gonna borrow or to any kind of a big project. And then you combine that with the fact that based on what I've seen from Vern's calculations, we are not exactly in the cash position that we were last year, let alone years before. Is that a fair assessment, Bert?
That's too open-ended to narrow down. I did provide the 2022 summary here in a hard copy. If anybody wants it electronically, I can get it to you. I think it is a fair statement to say that income tax has been in a very kind of narrow range between 33 and 35 million the last 5 years. But yes, operating expenses have been going up. So at some point, something's got to give. Your revenues either got to kick up, or you're going to have to bend that curve of your operating expenses. Otherwise, at some point, you're going to meet.
Well, because I know in my house, one of the very first things when I notice that there is a difference in either the amount of income or the buying power of my income, I know one of the first things I do is to kind of pull in and act conservatively with my spending. So, you know, based on my own personal situation, that's my first reaction is, okay, how do we manage to do as many of the things we can do and pick out the things that are most critical and work at making them as best as they can be? The other piece that kind of goes along with it, if we roll the clock back 40 years, the population of Independence was maybe 7,000 instead of 7,500. So we've had an increase of maybe only less than 8% in the population, but over those years, we have done a variety of things. I mean, we talk about the new fire station. That satisfied two needs at that time. One was the new fire station. The other one was the building and engineering department's reuse of that facility. But the other questions then become, what is realistic now? When the library was built as part of the Civic Center, did we get money from the county for that?
The facility itself?
Right.
They're responsible for maintaining, they maintain everything in that room themselves.
Correct. But did they pay for part of it?
They paid for all the internal mechanisms. We paid for the structure, not the structure.
So they
didn't. It's part of our bond issue.
Okay, so they didn't really contribute to the actual cost of the
building itself.
Okay.
For clarification, the new formula is that if you supply the land, they'll supply the construction. So up to $10 million in this case, I believe.
Well, the question then goes along with that is the location. Do we want to risk trying to move a library and put it in a position that puts it closer to where our kids are? Or is it a reasonable distance now to go across an athletic field a long distance before somebody that might have bad thoughts to be able to get more easily to our schools? So I kind of wonder if the thoughts about having a building across the street, making it closer to our schools, might not be a good idea. So if something like that were to be developed, does it make more sense to move it into the center of town? I mean, if they're providing the money, we do have the property there. It could be a draw to the center of town. It could be something that could be very helpful in collecting some additional people in the center of town. It could be a kind of a focus.
You know, I kind of just a bill on that. I think it's the same thing. Is that it could be. We talked, I think, back when you were mayor. I think Anthony, to have like an amphitheater back there, have something. So for programming, if we had a library there that might attract speakers, might attract programs, and that could bring people into the center part, it might be something that could build upon that. Well, maybe then now it might be a restaurant would come there. Maybe we have a program where you have. Yeah, weekly. Yes, it could be from the political world, could be from the literary world, could be from a number of things. But that'll attract people to come downtown. I mean, we've been looking at different ends. You know, the big project we looked at maybe excavating, having their headquarters. We're trying to look at, but maybe something as simple as that, where you have and of course libraries now are not like they were when this was built. I mean, books are not as focused as programs are now. I know that my grandkids go to the one in Northfield quite often for the various programs that they have, and it's well attended, you know, by young families. So, yeah, that could be, you know, again, of course, are they competing then with what we have at Civic Center and the programs we have too? That's all has to be, by having a library there, maybe that'll help with our development of downtown, at least part of downtown. And maybe would lead to other, other development there and more of a, not a splashy type of thing, but it still would be enough to bring families down there. And you could have even rec there, playgrounds, stuff like that, that would bring activity to the downtown area. So, I mean, I just thought it might be all hogwash, but that's been.
No, actually, Vice Mayor Dale, I'm interested in, that's the purpose of a discussion, because there is nothing set in stone. It's an opportunity. What I'd like to do is just keep trying to stay back up here at a higher level so that we can define some of these issues, prioritize if possible, and then we can drill down and have a discussion purely on that issue. That seems to be one issue. So, boom, we can put our arms around that issue and then get information, have it build upon it, get information to the point where we can make a decision. Now, the only other asterisk for that is there is another entity that is going to participate. So, and all we've been exposed to is the overarching idea that they've proposed and with certain parameters. So, so I think that the identifying it as an issue that needs to be discussed more, absolutely. That's one I would check it off. Let's put it up there and for further discussion.
Because that also leads to the fact that if they do go to a new building, that would free up the room there at the Civic Center to expand there for city programs too. So they kind of would, you're helping one situation, you're expanding your Civic Center without actually having to add on or have big expenses there, and you're finding a facility for your library, and you're hopefully maybe bringing some economic development to your downtown area. And all of the programs are positive for the community, I think, too. So
I think location is one of the open boxes on that potential facility. Location. The only parameter that we have to remember, it's got to be on property that we own. If it's property we own, then it's something that they can then sink their teeth in, design, develop with the amenities they need to the future. So I would say, boom, that one's done.
To which we store it. So you don't eat up a big footprint.
Well, it could be. There's nothing that
preferences.
Yeah, their preference.
We're giving them the land. And to me, that's value of land.
Yeah. Think about what borders will do.
Yeah.
Right. People went there all day long.
That's right. It was an event.
Exactly. So I think you can do the same thing with a multi-story facility. I mean, people would get our business community. We might be able to get our business community. People would go, hey, I'm going to spend my lunch hour there and just kind of hang out, just quiet and do,
That's one infrastructure project that we've identified. And it's fortunately, or it's not today, because if today in terms of our planning for the departments, in terms of our strategic planning for the community services, rec department, because it'll impact that. But in terms of the library, they're an outside entity, and they've asked us to identify a location, and so that's one of the overarching goals that we have to put together. So that would be one. What other areas?
I'd like to bring up a police station.
Police station.
So a couple things about that. I mean, first of all, I think you kind of have a danger there now, because it's been, designed for a quarter of the amount of police officers we have. It's also.
Would you say that?
Where'd you get that? Well, 40 years ago, we had 25 people on the force.
So now we have. We have doubled.
I'm sorry, I met him about half. I think it was about half. We didn't really grow. We didn't think it was going to grow the way it has. But we've also got a lot different of a setup than that. So with technology, we've got cameras in the various areas. Who's watching that? Where do they watch it? Do they watch it? I don't know. I'd like to think we do, but I'm thinking we don't do it. I think we do it retroactively, because I didn't see a lot of that over there. But I think that's an important part of policing today. I also think that, the way it's designed, it's so, kind of just, it's disjointed. So it's like any type of a business that you work in, you always want to talk about workflow. I mean, the workflow of that building, because we've just kind of thrown this here and thrown this there and we have space here. I think it's really difficult to maximize our efficiency in the building. And I think there's a safety threat for the police
police officers there. And so I think, you know, if you were going to design a building for the police departments, you wouldn't have the thing that we have now. So I think it's important that we do at least get a committee or internal committee or whatever be kind of going on looking at the various, first of all, what are our needs and what's the flow? What's the workflow? So when you come in here, you have a workflow, you know, economic development's over there, the mayor's office over here. You don't have that at the police station. I mean, it's like, you kind of go here for this and here for this, and it's kind of cramped. And it's just, I don't know that it's the best workflow. I think it's difficult, you know, as we're talking about. I look at, when I was at Ohio State, they built the Woody Hayes Center. And boy, did that attract athletes to come to Ohio State. Now it's 30 years old and they have to do something differently. But I look at the same thing as our police department. We're in a competitive situation. And if you're bringing in new officer potentials and they go through there and they're like, gosh, this is just really disjointed. I mean, where's my locker going to be? I mean, I just think that we should be thinking about the future for this, that we're going to have a fairly large police force. I would build it bigger than what it is in terms of where, you know, what we currently have. But also the fact that the workflow is just so ancient. I mean, I don't think it works for a modern police department. So it's like, I think you got to look at flow first. What are your needs? What are your operational needs 25 years in the future? How do you take advantage of technology? How do you utilize that technology? Certainly the range down to one, firing slot there is not acceptable. And it's an older range. And so you got to work on that. How does that play into the whole thing? So I think that that's important to at least know what we want. And then we can kind of decide where you want it, do you have multiple locations? Those are all kind of futuristic type things. I think you kind of have to look at the flow first, what makes an efficient operation. So what you were talking about, Mayor, was you'd want to have something enclosed. Okay, well, that takes space if you want to enclose something like that. If you need to enclose it, we might have to enclose it, but let's get all that stuff squared away in terms of how much space do you need. And my feeling is, this is my old inventory control mind working when I worked for George Chase. If something lands on the dock, it's got to be a raw material, then you can store it, and then you can make it, and then you can ship it. So you just want one big workflow. So if I arrive at the dock door over here with a prisoner, what would I want to do? I'd want to book the prisoner. I'd want to have an interrogation room. I'd want to have all these things and then put the prisoner in jail. So it's one workflow, We don't have that today. And I think the first thing to do, in my opinion, would be let's get a workflow that makes sense. That, how many square feet do you need for that? I'm willing to look at renovating the space. Maybe we can use this old space as, for temporarily or something, but at least let's know what we need, because I really do think it with respect to technology and all the technology we have in the vehicles, it's not designed for that. And I'm concerned that, we'd be missing out if we didn't take a look at that type of thing. So it's like, first of all, I just say, let's look at the flow first, and then we can start getting, more specific to where we want to do. But I think we have to know what we need.
And the additional part that goes with that is parts of it are spaces that are not utilized. I mean, we have the dispatch area that's not utilized. We have some other areas there that are not best utilized. So I think that goes along with examining what potential space we have, what potential needs we have, and then a combination of those two will determine what course of action is best. But I mean, you really have to have a very clear idea of what you have available and what your needs are. Because in the Civic Center, we're taking the kitchen, we're utilizing the same space, we're having people come in if we approve the piece of legislation tonight, but approve having somebody come in to show us how to make that flow work so that's a more effective kitchen. And I see that as being the same potential for the police department, at least as a starting point.
Yep. And Rexall, that's a new police station, right, with the dispatch center combined?
They built those across the street.
So it'd be nice to just analyze, now it's been in operation for a few years, and you'd even pick their brain and say, hey, you got to do it all over. Mistakes made, and we ought to recreate the reel. We can just see from there, even though we don't have the dispatch center here, but at least we can see from their operational standpoint, what's good, what's bad, and whether we can do it here. And if we can, do it by remodeling, what the cost is and what's the cost of a new business, so we can analyze. I think council would need to see how much it's going to cost. Is it, are we going to have to be penny-wise and pound-foolish, you know, thinking we're going to save a few dollars now, but 10 years from now, we're, you know, we really haven't accomplished anything. But it'd be nice, I mean, I don't know, if, I'm sure there's probably other communities that build a new police station. Let's see what they did instead of going, you know, trying to recreate something that we're not, and pick their brains and say, hey, this is what they did that was good, and this is something that they said, you know, they gave a mistake to, and then build upon that and improve it for our own model and give ourselves options too. So
Dublin and Westerville have 10-year-old facilities. That's really cool. I've been to Dublin's, and I was outside of Westerville because they have a mayor's.
Do you want to tell us why they were there? No.
Yeah.
What color suit were you wearing at the time?
Yeah.
Was it pink?
Select probation.
Or is it the dress?
But they need to look at their flow.
It's funny because they built this, they did it from an architectural and aesthetic standpoint to mirror, you know,
Independence,
Washington. I mean, Philadelphia. So now, you know, and I don't think flow and logistics were a high priority back then.
They didn't have it where they came from.
No.
So this was the town hall.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the word.
That's what they call it.
Pete's Palace, right.
But it was functioning. And then things change, technology, you mentioned. But there are, the Chief's been doing some homework. You've got Rectangle, you've got Brooklyn, there's Westlake, there's a few others that he has toured. He's been part of that process. So flow, technology, all the logistics, absolutely. I would say, good. We put that on a priority list. That's a high priority.
And what other priority we have as far as jail? I mean, are we bringing people in for very short term? Does it make sense for us to have to maintain, have jailers and extensive things, or are we just a quick holding area for potentially a better situation for that? Is that space that might be wasted where it could be better, you know, better used for other police activity and not be looking at long-term storage of, criminals?
Yeah, I clearly, one of the issues that was clearly important being articulated again is renovation. That's one. Location would be, and then defining the needs today in terms of what others have done, that's a second way of looking at it. And then location's going to be another priority. So that's, I think we put that back up there as a prize. Place, foundation is a priority. Is that fair?
And the good news is there is space adjacent to the existing facility also. I mean, it's not like the fire department is stuck up against the creek. It is in a position where there could be some additional space added if it's needed.
Sure. And so the priority becomes, we're not building for today, we're building for 10, 20 years from now, and we're trying to anticipate where that target's going to be, what technology's going to change, what are the things, the service of police service, how's it going to change over the next 5, 10, 20 years? So a lot of those things have to be incorporated as best we can into defining the fact that we made this a priority. So now that's good. What else?
Well, since we talked about that, you know, satellite, I think briefly, is there, of course, Seven Hills has been trying to jumpstart their development on their site for years and everything. We have the Northwest Quadrant. Now, how is that going to look years from now, 10, 20, 30 years? Is that going to get built out? If it is, do we have, should there be something jointly with Seven Hills to handle, like, especially the, I'm talking more like fire, ambulance service and that, to have quicker access to that area than what we have here? But I think there was that talk at one time with Seven Hills about a joint.
Facility at one time on Rockside Road.
And then that's not, because, I mean, when you're looking at crystal ball, maybe you like to talk about that, not just looking at the next 5, 10 years, but looking 30 years from now, if that's developed out there, the Northwest Grant has a number of buildings there, and that, do we need to think about, and if Seven Hills ends up developing their section too, does that make sense to go jointly with another community and have at least something to handle? I'm looking more or less at the ambulance, you know, fire, but it could be having to have a satellite with the police department down there too.
Emergency ramp would do that a lot.
Right, unless we're, yeah, that's an opportunity too.
That,
that opens up a whole different opportunity.
Right, and that would, that would kill the need.
But in all fairness, that discussion was had, is had, and will be had with Seven Hills, because with mutual aid today, you know, whether any pass ambulance or a Valley View or Seven Hills, they're all trained appropriately. So, although they have a different, I think they have a full-time fire department. They have a part-time fire department. Did they finally get
this money to training?
Okay. The hybrid they have.
Well, to your point just now, Mayor, you know, we've got Representative Patton has House Bill 23 pending in the Senate right now, transportation. He threw a little interchange in for Strongsville, which he represents. Senator Coonsie has the, she's from Columbus area, she's got the bill now. But if we wanted to put this into the bill, I think Representative Patton would be willing to take a look at us, and Representative Serino, or Senator Serino's on the committee.
Yeah.
So he's looking at this right now.
We sent a packet to Senator Serino and to Tom Patton. And that's where the feedback came from. We have to wait. Transportation budget, the overall budget.
Yeah.
So, but we put packets together. Don has put a wonderful packet together for both those gentlemen to support the initiative that we've been rejected. So, so with your help, that'd be great. But it'll help us to find, help, that's another criteria that if we had the emergency ramp, maybe we don't need something on Rock Side.
You know, there's another opinion to that too, because you said if we built that, it's a cheaper option than building down on Rockside. But with the amount of square footage of office space we have, with the 10 or 13 or 15 hotels we have, with the retail we have, with the interstates we have, and the future potential growth of the Northwest Quadrant, my personal opinion is that area of town deserves its own station, and that still trying to come from the center of town down to that part of town all day and all night, even if you have another access off of 77, is inferior to having a facility there.
Now, that with respect to the fire, absolutely, because fire state is in the house. Police are like ants. They're all over there. They shouldn't be in the house. So there's a living dynamic about that whole process. But yeah, absolutely. I cringe a little bit every time that these guys go flying through the center of town. It's just one of those things that you pray every day. But so to suggest that that's a priority, I think there's a consensus that the police is a priority. And so all the logistics and all this discussion will help us as we frame it up to continue trying to evaluate what's best, what's both economically feasible, what's best in terms of a long-term strategy, and how what's best for the men and women in our department to keep them most on their ultimate and optimum level of service. So
can I stay on safety for one second?
Yeah, sure.
We talk about infrastructure, we talk about the blue lights, and Chief said we don't have the infrastructure to get past Cedar Road going south. So we can't go to Hillside, we can't go to Pleasant Valley, because we have no fiber optics under the ground. So it's something to consider about step one is getting that infrastructure in there to plan for step B, which would be putting up the cameras. And we know that the cameras are very successful.
Yeah.
And you know, Strongsville has them now. They love them. Beachwood has them. And they work, you know.
Not just the flocks, the actual camera.
The actual camera.
Yeah, right.
They work. Yeah. And so then that lends itself into, do we try to go down Rexville Road, or do we do our trail system along the high tension line? There's now all of a sudden you're creating different opportunities, two different areas to be able to get the infrastructure, the fiber in this case, into locations that we don't have it today.
The same on Pleasant Valley or no?
I thought we had Pleasant Valley. But
yeah, I thought we did.
I thought Tim's was here earlier.
Yeah.
We left the building.
We're certainly at Pleasant Valley and Brecksville down to Rockside.
Down
and Rockside.
Yeah.
We have it from Valley.
We have it from Sea League. Sea League Garage Site.
Connected to here.
Oh, no, they're not. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we're not, no, we're not connected.
They're not connected.
There's opportunities to, but again, point well taken. In the underground infrastructure, this is important as the above ground infrastructure or on the ground infrastructure. So.
When are they moving to 21?
It's, our portion is scheduled for 2026, I believe. We have about 3 miles and Brexville has 3 miles. One of them's 2025, one of them's 2026. So, but that's, I think those are just grinding overlays. Yeah, they're not overall.
Well, be honest, if we did.
They're not. Yeah, so, but I think that's.
That's what people have to do. I mean, I think this is the future and this is where it's going to be. So, and it's advantage. You talk about SWATs, you know, what's an advantage of the community? You have that community wide on Brexville Road and be able to tap into that.
But I can't believe that stuff can't be wireless too.
It actually can be, yeah.
I'm sure it can be.
Well, you can do dish, point to point.
Yeah.
And that's how First Energy and Mobile, if you look at our tower, you'll see just today, one of those dishes. That's the latest. That's how they've transmitted their information. So the point is, and it's well taken, underground or even dish technology to deal with infrastructure. All of this good stuff. What else? What's the next?
Can I digress for half a second?
Yeah.
Just related to the comments related to Rockside Road. Being on safety committee, I think we have to make sure that everybody's aware that most communities would kill for our quick response, whether it's the ambulance, the fire department, the police officers. I mean, we have extraordinary response times that I know that many communities would be envious of. So, you know, keeping that in mind, are we trying to fine-tune something that already is pretty dang at the top of the pile?
But it's evolving every day.
Understood.
And it's the main point getting there.
Yeah, I think the key is the council's been very fair and good to invest in a lot of these tools and manpower. So that affects the budget, but no one here says safety and hiring more police officers and making sure that we have a full complement and then training them properly to be able to identify issues. And then if those go way down in the weeds, not like it's not for today, but further conversation in terms of safety and all the different amenities.
You just brought up training. I mean, I still think we should have some type of I've been to Cleveland's training facility and they've got some pretty slick, you know, operational opportunities. So it's like it's actually a real city, you know, structure where, hey, is this a kid with a plastic gun or is this a shooter? You know, so it's like they have that. We don't really have any of those types of capabilities.
Send our people out.
That's an urban setting. It's not the same type of thing.
She's just very aggressive in terms of, to the credit of all our people, the men and women are in our department, they're very willing and wanting to learn. And so we just did some, not the week, but we just, over the weekend, I was talking to one of our officers and she was telling me how she just got back from a drug testing. So she certified another certification level identifying drugs because I was asked, I said, so, okay, how are you going to be able to identify marijuana? Especially if they legalize it. And all he said, the chief is, by the way, the chief's got certification that he can identify it. I said, he looked at me the other day and I said, chief, I just had my eyes dilated, so. But he is certified, so he's very, very aggressive in terms of getting his people trained. So that's, but again, I'd like to go back to the high level. We identified these two issues. What else?
Was service one of them?
Service department as well. Everybody identified it, and I think it was either what about cost of running? It was 1976 building. It was the worst condition in terms of the GPS study of review of our building infrastructure, and so I've challenged.
What does that mean? The worst condition. It's a brick and block building. Yeah. What's to be bad about it? You got a concrete floor, you got a big open room, and you got brick and block construction. And mean, unless they're saying the roof is bad or something, I don't know. Got a little bit of offices, but I don't know what that means. It's the worst building.
That means your HVAC system, your condition of your concrete, condition of the walls, condition of the facility itself. There's so many electrical system, everything's 1976 vintage. And so you don't have radiant heat in the floors like all the new buildings do to protect your equipment. We don't have the amenities today that we did. They weren't popular. They weren't the way to go back then. So but one of the suggestions was to look at the cost of renovation. So we're going to do that.
What's the age of the wash area? Wasn't that added on in addition to the original building? So that part
is new.
There
were several additions.
Right,
there were several different additions.
How old are those?
Well, I'm not off the top of my head.
No.
The last 30 years, I'd say that.
Right.
Last 30 years.
Yeah. And it was narrowed it right down.
The one was actually 90s.
Early 90s.
Yeah.
We upgraded early 90s.
We also have a lot more equipment.
That's all right. It's the service.
Totally
yeah, keeping you are spot on. The service we provide and the level of service and the amount of service we provide today, there's no corresponding relevancy to what we did in 1976, 86, and even 96. So
and tonight we're about to make another purchase, right? So
yeah,
where
so
you put this stuff, you know.
But, and those are 30, 40 year decisions if you properly maintain this. So
and the money invested in the equipment is, I mean, boy, you want to get every year.
Well, that's why
you get out of
yeah, that's why the new facilities all are all have radiant heat. They all have different amenities that to protect the equipment. And made sure that's all maintained, it's cleaned properly, maintained properly. We do a good job with what we have. We just don't have enough room for what we have.
Yeah.
And so the thought is that I think, you go back high level, it warrants discussion, whether it be renovations, whether it be new, and then it be all the different components that go into that. If it's renovation, you got a site. If it's new, where? And so it definitely warrants discussion. And again, to his credit, the service director is very passionate about making sure that the structure to that department, to the people that are, and also for the future. So it's not as though we would knock that building down. There'd be some other purpose for it, just not the activity level that we have today with all our equipment.
But you can't beat the location. That location is snuggled up against the highway without having any residents happen to complain about having, diesel trucks starting up, plows starting up in the middle of the night and all the other things. So, that is a really good spot as far as its isolation, but it's still centrally located.
I will just send discussion at another time.
Well, if
I can ever make everybody at this table happy.
Spoken like a whatever different job, right?
Just go up on a helicopter and do that 10,000 foot view, and we have recreational, we have educational, institutional, cultural uses, and then we have an industrial property right there. That is the redheaded stepchild that doesn't belong.
Everybody's entitled to their perspective and their opinion.
You just want to put it in the middle of Hillside Road where the school is.
Put it in an industrial area because that's the use it is.
Actually, that got shot down, so that's not.
Yeah, that didn't go over very well.
Speaking of the rumor, but
we didn't even really talk about it. It never really got it
off. The bottom line is, the bottom line is that sometimes you just throw things on the wall and you see what you can get to stick.
Yeah.
And
yes, right off.
And that is it was clear that there was not a consensus there. But look at it. The goal is to do exactly just that. And I'm not discounting what finance director has to say, but find me a location. Unless you can find a better location for that type of our use and our need in our community, then you got to stay focused. So, but that's one of our purposes. That's that's one of our jobs, is to explore all of our opportunities. And if we can hone in on something that's appropriate, we all win. The community wins for decades to come. So, but Service Garage is definitely a priority. And because what we did in the 70s, 80s, 90s is different than what we do 2020, 2030, 2040, and the cost of equipment is so, if you're not taking care of it appropriately, maintaining it appropriately, and I can tell you, having heavy equipment over the years and leaving them outside, it is not good. I leave your car outside, you sleep outside, and then start up in the morning. It's, it may be mechanical, but it still has an impact, even if your oil's heated, your engines are heated.
You said something earlier that was pretty good, because it's kind of like when the School Facilities Commission, I've never seen them ever under any circumstance since 1999 say, you should renovate this school, because there's nothing in it for them for any renovations. So the fact that we've got experts now on our staff that can have an objective evaluation of our buildings, our workflows, I think that's really key. So in my opinion, I wouldn't have a lot of quote unquote experts come in and tell us, because experts have bias. Our own internal people won't have bias unless they need to have some type of an expertise that
we to evaluate certain systems. You bring people in and give you a report.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, I think
the use. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, I think you've got two facilities that could complement each other. Let's look at both of those facilities. I wouldn't think of the one we've got on Rexall Road as a courtroom unless, it has to be. But I mean, it could be a storage area for a little while, but it's also a functional facility that the Department of Transportation uses. It's older. So, income combination, what can we do with those two facilities? The fact that we got this campus here does kind of bias a little bit that, you do have a campus, and there's some synergies to having a campus together. So, I think we have to look at that as well. But, again, I think as you have internal evaluators who don't have a bias, I think that's going to be helpful for other agencies.
Everybody's got a bias, Jim.
Yeah.
Well, you go
back to 1976, Patty Woodward was opposed to putting it where it's at. No bias. Well, that's right, she didn't do it. The point I'm trying to make is, and Selig didn't, but it's real. It's very real.
There's a long distance between Patty's house.
Okay.
Well, Mayor, and my question for the group is, how do we want to move on this stuff? I mean, there's a dozen things in here. You said there's no bad idea, but many of these were discussed last year. I don't really pick an idea. I just want to make some progress on it this year. If the service department is a three-year project, then hopefully we need to make some progress. It's hard to get nine people together and say, okay, we're going to talk on this. So is it divide and conquer any of these? Is it, somebody mentioned rental properties. None of our existing committees are going to touch on rental property. If somebody wants to bring that up, do you want to meet, do you want to come?
But it's a safety issue.
It's a safety issue. But on Tuesday before council, when does anybody want to get together? Jim, you mentioned a committee for the police station. I'm up for that, as you said, so I just appreciate it. Just have some strategic meetings.
If you take, since the library is not, it's a two-party issue, and we should focus on the service department and the police department. And if we walk away today just saying we've identified those are the two highest priorities, infrastructure priorities, then I'm okay with that, because it's a lot of heavy lifting just in those two. The rest of them, we're always reviewing. These are not something that, you'll notice that the requests out of the recreation department, the requests out of the community service, the requests out of the service, everyone's always trying to think of future programs, think of future upgrades to the pools. So they're not stagnant. No one's stagnant.
Yeah.
They also recognize there's a limited financial capacity. These are not. These are a different category. These will demand some type of finance. Because when you start talking $10, $20 million issues, they're going to be financed, one either internally or externally. So that's what I wanted to hear today. I wanted to hear, I walk away with with a priority list, three, four, five issues that we can sink our teeth in and get, invest some time, effort, and money into and come back to and engage council so that you're comfortable making the decision. When we all say, okay, we've researched, in a perfect world for me, I'd love to be able to research the service department and come back and say, okay, we've honed in on this, the vast majority of agree with this, we've all had input, now let's move forward with the next step. Sort of fire department, police department, I'm sorry, police department, same thing. We've explored it, we've honed in on a couple of different options, everyone at the table, now we get in, now we get down and drill down. Until we get to, we drill down, drill down, drill down, till you can make a decision, then you just, then move forward. So just knowing those three items, and if there's something else we've missed or something else you want to talk about, we have some more time.
Alternative housing.
Just wanted to mention.
Alternative housing.
How hard is it to pinpoint specific locations, whether it's a police station or service garage? Because then I think it would be a lot easier for us to picture in our head what a facility would look like, whether it's, you know, over there or across the street or what location, on Rockside, what, you know, parcel on, you know.
Or maybe we show you what some options are and then you can use your collective knowledge individually, but collectively to think of a location that maybe we haven't thought about or think of an opportunity that we haven't thought about. There's a lot of brain power in this table that can make a difference. That's our job, is to provide leadership for some of these decisions. And so it's not mine, it's not one of yours, it's everybody, or the majority, saying, here's what we should do, here's a direction.
Because, you know, you've mentioned in the past, you know, a piece of property for a service department. But then, you know, Vern mentions he wants it in a industrial setting. Well, you have an idea of an industrial setting where you'd like to see it, so then maybe all of us can picture it in our head.
Everyone at the table has that, and I hope it's been clear. Everyone at the table has that opportunity. And listening to your constituents, I mean, I listen to people in the community that talk about, I ask them certain things, people I communicate with, people that see me, and they'll ask me about service department. They hear we're talking about it. They know we're talking about a police department. Some of them are passionate about doing something on Rockside Road. Some of them aren't. And so, collectively, if we start having these discussions and honing on something, I think that that's probably how we're going to get to our starting point. And the starting point is not all the research that we do, it's all the planning we do. It's when we put ourselves in a position to have plans, and then finance, and then build, and then make it work.
So then are we throwing the option of adaptive reuse and potential expansion of both of these facilities? Is that still on the table? I mean, it sounds like we're going towards locations and blueprints. And
no, I think we can do parallel paths. That's what we do in private industry, we do parallel paths. What's it going to cost me to renovate this? And can I achieve my overarching goals with it? And if I can't achieve my overarching goal, then I dismiss it.
Right.
And one of those might be cost. And one of those may be efficiency. And if I can't achieve it, then until I can't achieve it, then I'll still look at that as one of my options.
Yeah, I'd like to start with the adaptive reuse expansion and exhaust that before, because if you do two parallel paths and you end up on a renovation, then you've wasted money on exploration of a new structure. So.
Well, only if you're investing in architects, but up to that point, it's all been, and people are, their chiefs have been very open, mayors have been very open, and service directors have been very open to helping them. They're proud of what they have. They're proud of their facilities. And to say that they helped independents design theirs or they used ours as a template, I mean, there's some opportunity there. It just makes us more efficient that we're not just wasting time going down one path, but actually we're looking at both paths at the same time. And then at some point, when you get to the why, you got to, like Yogi Berra, make a decision, you know, and then you do it. So that's what the chief and the service director have done, some preliminary work. And they've been researching some of these things. So, yes, we will. We can go down this parallel path and determine to what extent it makes sense to renovate, to build new, to do a hybrid, Rapids might be something also.
But Mason, Ohio has another Justice Center police complex that you might want to really take a look at. It's got a great workflow there. Now, that's a municipal court as well.
Okay, thank you.
They have a nice wastewater plant too.
They got their act together. And it's all in one area.
They're very advanced.
They got a lot of know.
I think, wasn't it one time they talked about a service down in Pleasant Valley? I mean, I don't know if there's any available, but as an industrial area, I think, or did you get that you wouldn't bother any residents?
No.
Again, the cost factor.
Exploring that.
Is there a vacant, one or two of the buildings are vacant? I don't know if you could consider that property.
We did look at several buildings over the years. Either they weren't big enough or their footprint wasn't big enough to accommodate all the other needs. So, but again, this is good because we're going to have those discussions. Now that we identified, is there anything else that we missed as an overarching goal or one of these housing? We closed down the Concordia property, and Jess will present everything to you. All of you will receive a packet. I'll receive a packet as to logistics and what the next step is, and absolutely, everyone should weigh in on how you want to go forward.
Okay, how long
would it take? It's what's best for the community. But there's definitely a number of people that were waiting for this opportunity to come by. They're still waiting. Fortunately, they're not moving today. And we'll just see how well this fits into an overall master plan and go from there. But yes, Jess will update us all on the status of what she's put together on the housing, at least housing when it comes to center of town, because there's two components in the center of town.
Oh.
There's Concordia, and then there's the downtown property.
So your thoughts?
Yeah. And maybe I missed that. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, I mean, now that we're open on Concordia, I think we've got to stay focused on that, because I think we have to spend some money on infrastructure. We're just not going to sell that to a developer and not go to town. I mean, we're going to be in control of that for some time, I think.
Well, yeah, but
and then also downtown there. We talked about alternative housing down there. I got some good ideas for down there.
Okay.
My daughter and Danny live in Milford. And this little community, they live there. It's like out of a magazine. And, you know, you got to get out of that picture of single family houses. You got to, where is that? North of Virginia?
Oh.
I mean, it's gorgeous. And it's high rent. It's not going to be for everybody.
Why?
I think to get closer to what, you know.
What do you mean?
Thinking outside the box over here. And I think we might be at the point now that if we're going to do something in the downtown area, it's not going to be your normal smaller house on smaller piece of property. It's got to be connected somehow.
Well,
I don't want to call it apartments because it wouldn't be apartment. But, you know, some kind of townhouse or row houses, and it's big time stuff, guys. It's beautiful.
Well, but what other thing to be aware of? I mean, we're going to vote on Cleaver Court's reconstruction, you know, water lines, sewers, sidewalks, road surface. It's about, what, 800 feet plus or minus? Well, to get us back from Brecksville Road back to the Concordia property is maybe half again that distance. So you're looking at proximity of $1.5 million for infrastructure just to get there for somebody to begin. So that's something. I mean, it's easy to say that's a great area. That'll be a nice thing to develop. But there's going to have to be a major capital expense just to get to the point of having access to it.
Well, we can recoup that.
Well, I respect. Sure. Kind of disagree, Tony. I think that's going to be on the developer's back.
No, I'm saying we could recoup that.
Oh,
We're not going to foot the extra cost. We'll control it by whatever development that this table holds.
Well,
locks the developer in, but at that point.
I'm sorry, Dale, if you were under the impression the city was going to pay for all that.
Well, I'm just saying, one way or another, that $1.5 million is going to go on to, if it's 30 homes, if it's 50 homes, however many homes, it's not just the cost of the home itself, but the additional structure involved. So we're getting way beyond the, what we thought was a reasonable cost when we were talking about the school property, and now we're talking about elevating another, what, $7,500,000 per living unit because you have to pick up that cost.
I'm not sure the math. I don't know how you come up with that math and what evaluation. I have to look at that. But the fact,
well, I just working off the million.
Here's the alternative: one do nothing.
Oh, I'm just
well,
saying. But I mean, no, there's a legitimate cost up front that it would be recouped. I get that, but I'm just saying that money's got to come from somewhere.
Yeah, I would say this: if the developers don't want to, can't see that, they'll let us know. It's still a good investment for the property. So either way, the city protects the property or invests in the property to keep people in here that are city residents. But I'm sorry if you were under the impression the city was going to pay for that.
And do you envision new housing on the Fortledge, the old Fortledge property north of Concordia Church?
One way or another.
Eventually, the city owns that, so we can make some money on that and take care of our residents.
Yeah, I don't think there's a final design for the subdivision yet, but that'll be answered at that time,
Whether
it's now or in the future or never, that particular piece.
So I think the bottom line is on that property, either way, it was a good investment. So that's what the people have told me.
How close is Jessica to unveiling this?
She's got to report to all of us in terms of the next steps. So it could be today, but I'm not sure.
Okay. So what I would suggest to go along with what John was saying is, why don't we put together a schedule of either committees or meetings of the whole or whatever, and have a singular topic for that day. So I think on the economic development part, which I think is another thing we really kind of have to go through, because that pays for
or dozens, one of the two, you know. So I'm thinking maybe we put together that schedule, I don't know, every 3 weeks or every, you know, whatever it might be, so that there's a topic and then a follow-up topic, so all year long we're going through this until we have the definitive as to
what we want to do. Because the rest of the other infrastructure projects, the roads and stuff, they're moving along no matter what. Where they're moving along, Cleaver's going to be a council. And by the way, the prices were really good.
And far lower than what
Very, I mean, very competitive. Because there were four bids.
In regards to that, I know that's going to be part of the caucus, I think, but I wouldn't mind even going with the alternate with the lighting. I mean,
well, we have to define that first.
I mean, for the price they have.
Before we do that, though, I think, keep in mind, we had that discussion, and we put it in there to be complete, but I went to a meeting with the residents in a couple of weeks. Don said he'll be ready in 2 or 3 weeks with the contractor. And the impact, there's a greater impact. We're putting sidewalks on the one side. We're squeezing down the houses. If you drive that, you know they're pretty tight. And now the lights today are on the poles. The poles are on the north side of the street. And if you try to put lights, standalone lights on the south side, you're going to be right in somebody's.
That's true.
So
yeah.
We're not making that decision. So I thought if they decide that council can come back and we can amend that. But the thought was we're excited about the bid, get it going, and there's a few logistical issues we got to work out. But Don's told me the next 2 or 3 weeks he should have answers. But the point I'm trying to make is about infrastructure. That's one project we're working on. We're working on the Route 21 project, which is a big project, which we'll talk about later in executive session. And we'll talk about some of the other different, all the maintenance projects we have going. So there's a lot of moving parts this year, to say the least.
And say just a side comment, you say, you know, it's only another $140,000, but there are less than 20 houses on that segment of road. Basically, that'd be investment of about $8,000 per house.
But I think we've invested how much money in that area for the last 50 years?
I don't begrudge that, but the other piece of that puzzle is, so then are we going to put decorative lighting every other place that we do? I don't know that answer. But I mean, that's a trap.
You put the lighting in Fedora, Elmarch, and...
The reason we didn't incorporate it is because we're not sure that's what they want because of...
I think the people...
It's unique. We don't have 75-foot setbacks. We don't have 60-foot right-of-way. We don't have all the normal elements that normally go into a project of this size. So we got 50-foot right-of-way. We have housing that's, you know, built about 67 years ago. So we'll have the meeting, and then we'll talk to them about it, and we'll see, show them a couple of different options. One of them is some, doing something on those poles, which is what they have today. And so so our goal tonight is to pass that legislation, get moving, have our meeting in the next 3 weeks, and get that done this season. You know,
I like the idea that on Lafayette, they're going to be putting that
Mastic
seal on that too. I mean, that's a big investment we made a few years ago, and I think it really does help.
There's a lot of things going to happen this year, but there's a lot of things that are planned this year, like Roxa 21 is a big, the next phase of 21. I mean, that's a big project. There's a lot of opportunity there to do some things. Plus, we have the Mormon Church that's finally, they knocked on the city door and finally said hello, introduced himself, and so we have that dynamic to address. So there's a lot of different things that are coming together.
I want to piggyback on Jim's idea, though. I think that it probably would make sense for us as a group to focus on one particular topic. I mean, I get concerned because of the number of different directions we're going. It to me makes sense if we decide that it's the police station, or if we decide that the highest priority is the service center, then to put all of our efforts in the direction of whichever one of those projects it is, and I don't want to say beat it to death, but get it to the point that we can make some sort of movement in that direction would be my suggestion. I don't know what the rest of you think.
I think the fact that you took it from 40 project potential discussion points today to 3, and we focused on 2, is, I think it's commendable. It's great progress. And I think John suggested now is, and we're all agreeing, is let's just put our focus and attention on these, and then we can watch the type of how quickly we can develop something. I told you my concept is a 3-year plan on the service, but you know, this is our year to get everything dialed in. Next year we can design and go through that process. Exactly, because then it's going to talk about finance. So, plus we have a lot of different projects going on, so this is good. Anything we missed other than in terms of something that is a priority to somebody? The housing, you'll get a summary on that. That's just one component, but it's something that we will have discussions on, continuous discussions on.
I also think to kind of go along with that, it's like, you know, so we all talk about aging housing stuff. There's ways we can help that. So maybe we should get that on the table and say, what can we do to do that? What are there incentives that we can do? I got Vern a tremendous idea about trying to help our business community to revamp their buildings. So, yeah, I look at Cleveland, and I worked at a Leader building for 10 glorious years. And when the internet came, we were on the information cul-de-sac. Okay, I mean, there was nothing going on in that place, and they had wired and everything. So, our business stock is also a place where these buildings were built 50 years ago, now 40 years ago, 30 years ago. So, you know, are there programs we could put together in conjunction with those things to upgrade the buildings, to make changes to how businesses are flowing? But the same thing with that house. You know, so are there things we can do to help our residents to, you know, keep their houses up to snuff? And so I think these are ideas we really kind of have to champion,
So maybe part of keeping me in town is making my house more, you know, less 1951 and more 2031, right? You know, so I think we should keep talking about these things as it relates to the topics that we're going through, not just kind of be narrow about it, but let's keep broad-minded, put it on that three-year plan, that these are things that we want to try to accommodate.
One of the things, to comment or to compliment what you're saying is, Jim, was that the city has done a really nice job of having a lot of programs, a lot of opportunities, incentivizes our elderly population to stay here because they don't want to leave the amenities that they have. I mean, it's not a week goes by, someone doesn't, I talk to somebody, see somebody somewhere where they don't identify the fact that the Civic Center identified the programs and the different services that we provide a reason, overarching reason for us to stay here. So we do that, but I understand what you're saying. Can we refine that even more, is what you're saying.
Exactly, yes. So Mayor, do you want to just go on one there, Council, one, just pick one project and go with it?
Or if Council would indulge me, I'd be a little disingenuous if I told the chief or the service director that one of them's a priority. So if you don't mind.
I think those are the two I think everybody focuses on the most. I mean, those areas.
If you don't mind.
You don't want someone shooting you.
But I would think you should schedule our next continuation to be either for next Tuesday or Tuesday after that if we would like to keep the momentum going. And I don't know what everybody's schedule looks like.
Well, I'm not sure that they can. I think what you said is we want to do these two positions, two opportunities. So let me have these guys put an agenda together that come back to you.
Maybe I suggest real quickly that we do this on a regular basis, and we have police, service, and housing as three topics we always talk about. And then if we need to add a fourth, we add a fourth so that we can keep the project going, whatever. So that way you don't get your own people.
Let's do that. That's fine.
Yeah. And from my perspective, I'm in Columbus a lot, so we can do it later on in the afternoon. That would be helpful.
They're dynamic issues.
You should sign them up for an hour before each council meeting.
Yeah.
Everyone do that.
But we'll need more time than that.
They'll only be once a month.
Well, no, but it's going to take time, or that takes time to do the kind of legwork you're talking about if you really want to be effective.
We want to make it that they're prepared. We don't want to just get together.
2 weeks without a meeting. Not sure what you can accomplish if I got to tell these, hey, by the way, you're in the queue. Now you got to do your complete analysis. Renovate, new, where, how much. You got to start putting all that information together.
Well, then, Mayor, maybe this will be up to you to pick which one that is farther along. They're ready, prepared first, whether it be service or.
Well, we might do one and then we do the other one. Just it doesn't matter. I mean, this is
Councilperson Erica's point is won't take in doing trying to make 40 issues a priority, and none of them will become a priority. But I think there's enough brain power at this table to handle more than one issue at a time, too. So two is entirely doable.
I think those are the two most pressing.
And something I think that would be especially helpful, obviously we have the architect's drawings of the police department and the multiple levels to get some nice size exploded views of what's there and how it's currently being used. I mean, I think that's something that wouldn't be too hard to have the chief do, and then the same with the service department, have that provided with labeling and some other things on it, because you know I'd like to start with something concrete.
Sure.
And it's a lot easier then to look at areas like, well, is this a major used area? Is this a functional area? And if you start with that and then possibly a blank copy of something like that might be worthwhile to have.
Dave, we'll get a couple of those markers and everybody can start marking them out.
Out of all the colors, right?
Well, Mayor, I was thinking in a couple of weeks, you said we want to be ready, but we could even have in a couple of weeks take a look at what the police department, we can go in there for an hour or two and just see our visualizing. You know, we're just talking about it. Some of us haven't been there for, you know, for a while. I'd like to actually go in and see what it looks like.
Yeah,
and the same thing with the service department.
I'll talk to the chief and we'll schedule a time for, you know, we can either do it before an hour to hour and a half before the planning commission, or we can do it before a council meeting. We can just keep this ball rolling.
Yeah, but it'd be nice to visualize what we have.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
They wouldn't even have to start their plan, yeah, but this way we'll see what they have.
And those are the two foundation elements. We're going to do a tour, quick tour of the existing, and then some blueprints of the existing, so that you can at least have a foundation to discuss.
Yes.
One other quick item that we didn't talk about extensively, but I just wanted to get everybody's feedback on was, we have an infrastructure, so you did brought something up about underground infrastructure. Would it be okay with everybody if utilities, somebody took a little bit of a exploration of underground infrastructure, and how we might be able to accomplish some of those? Well, we had a meeting a couple of years ago. We had that one consultant, the guy at Akron or whatever it was, and it disappeared on us. But, we were talking about it. Remember that?
Okay.
Yeah, that was a good idea. Right. We were talking about how to get broadband everybody's home and market it.
Under utilities is what you're saying about calling, like whether it be from central connectivity.
Connectivity, yes.
And even we can get our water line, sewer line, you know, all that.
Yes.
Looking for money.
That's the other thing. I think we also have these hundreds of projects that have been on the book for years, and they're kind of backyard projects, that type of thing. But they're real quality of life projects. You all get the phone calls. My guardian. Let's take a look at a global approach to that. See if there's anything we can do on a big picture where we might be able to, leverage some of these federal funds or something, or maybe do our own thing on it. But like, put together a plan where, over and above just the stuff that's public, just to help our residents out. I mean, there's still a lot of people that have real problems, and we do the great maintenance, and all those programs are valuable. But there's fundamental important problems. The same neighborhoods every year go through the same thing, and it's private property, and we're kind of like, well, good luck, So.
No, we've had actually, because of the issue of accounts with the coordination with the council and that program, we've had people participate in those cost sharings where the city picks up a smaller portion, they pick up, and they sign off, and it works. So those type of initiatives and plans are still, they are active. So,
okay. Getting back to these two initiatives, if we can have, we just purchased the ODOT property, so now we currently have two functional service garages and service yards. If we can have some sort of operational plan on the two facilities and what is occurring at each and how we're utilizing one there.
Simply stated, the ODOT is a storage, and it's used like today, fall and salt now. And so, the other facility is our service garage.
So we're not keeping any vehicle or equipment there?
Just for storing different seasonal components.
Season stuff.
And stuff that...
Some plows are...
Yeah, we put some stuff in, but nothing that's just storage. So there's no manpower, there's no additional people going to be at that site. It's strictly for town bus like today. Yeah, it's a great opportunity. We're using it for salt store, the boat and salt. So, but we can incorporate that into our overall. But I think I appreciate. I know our time's expired for today. We'll look for we'll look for the first Tuesday in April before the planning commission. We can do it. We'll get the information if you want to do a tour of that. I'll talk coordinate with the vice mayor, and then we'll get everything out to everybody. How's that?
I think they planned a.
Maybe that won't work.
That's a public lands and building meeting.
Oh,
at least our public lands and building.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I mean,
we do have an agenda, right?
Maybe it's not what you want. You don't mind, but maybe you can
add it to it.
Well, then we'll talk to the chairman of that committee. Maybe we'll just set it up right then and there.
And in respect to that, as far as housekeeping, this meeting was a council workshop, and it really, I think, should be a council strategic planning session, so the meetings are grouped together with all the other strategic planning meetings. So if you want to go back and refresh yourself, you don't have to search through all the different council and workshop. Just based on how they're categorized on the city website.
Debbie?
I don't know if we can legally change that since it's been advertised and posted.
Well, you could put /strategic planning.
We can.
Yeah, and then just have the minutes warehouse with the other strategic planning.
We can identify it so people have easy access to it.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And yeah, the only other thing, Mary Chad, that we bring back a practice from a few years ago is when we did take a tour of some of our building, public lands and building, every time we go to the Civic Center, I remember going on the roof there with Dave Snyder and seeing exactly. So if we can plan it, and roads too, we did that, we took the bus ride, and it really, to visualize it, see it in person, you kind of, your decision makes a lot easier, because now you've seen the problem.
The first thing, we're not going on the roof, I'm not going on the roof.
I was a little bit younger, but I wouldn't do it now, but it was good, I mean, to see what we had, even going to the, you know, town hall and,
this is great.
Dale, when you do the streets tour, for a biker, the best way to see the streets is to bike them, not on a, in a vehicle, right? So we're going to do the bike tour for the streets.
That's a good idea with that. Motion to adjourn.
We got a motion, a second?
Second.
We are so adjourned, and we'll be reconvening the.
Recording stopped.
Aye.